Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Monica Brain. From sugar bushing to round dance competitions, cultural practices are a part of the educational process for one school on the White Earth Reservation in Minnesota. Circle of Life Academy leaders say the school has seen a dramatic turnaround since a few years ago when test scores and graduation rates remained in a slump. Today, we'll talk about the school's approach and what others can learn from it right after National Native News. We hope you'll add your voice to our discussion today.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The leader of the Cheyenne River Sioux tribe says he's undeterred by news that oil has been placed in the Dakota Access Pipeline underneath Lake Oahe in North Dakota. Dakota Access provided the update in documents filed in federal court Monday. Cheyenne River Sioux Chairman Harold Frazier says the fact that oil is flowing under the water is a blow, but says the legal fight is alive. The tribe, the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, and other members of the Great Sioux Nation are challenging the legality of the project, which includes allegations of treaty violations. They have a pair of motions pending in federal court. The Cheyenne River Sioux tribe also says the pipeline threatens tribal religious freedom. That claim is pending in an appeals court as Dakota Access prepares to place the pipeline into service. Family members of L'Oreal Sinajini, along with advocates, remembered her life Monday on the anniversary of her death in Winslow, Arizona. The Navajo woman was shot 5 times by a Winslow police officer last year during an altercation, which escalated from a shoplifting call. The officer, who faced no charges, says Sinajini threatened him with a pair of scissors. No evidence of criminal conduct on the part of Austin Shipley was found, and he resigned months after the shooting. Sinajini's family, along with advocates, marched from City Hall to the police station, where they held a vigil. The St. Regis Mohawk Tribe in New York is petitioning to make more land part of its reservation. As North Country Public Radio's David Summerstein reports, the land into trust application deals with part of the historic Mohawk land claim.
A federal judge has ruled the St. Regis Mohawks may have a legitimate claim to a slice of land contiguous to the tribe's reservation. The tribe argues European settlers bought the tract in violation of a federal treaty in the early 1800s. The tribe has negotiated a partial settlement to reacquire the land, but a neighboring county is holding out. Chief Beverly Cook says the tribe is growing and needs the land that's part of its historic territory.
We have business that we have to conduct for our community, and expanding the land base is one. Developing goals and strategies that we have that further economic development.
So the Mohawks have submitted land into trust applications for 220 acres of the land. The federal government already approved a 40-acre plot to become part of the Akwesasne Mohawk Reservation in 2015. Neighboring Franklin County officials say the issue is complicated and will take time to resolve. Mohawk chiefs say they'd still prefer a settlement. For National Native News, I'm David Summerstein in Canton, New York.
In Canada, a politician is under pressure to step down after comments she made about Indian residential schools. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, she said there were positive aspects to the school system.
Lynn Bayak is a member of the Senate Committee on Aboriginal People, and it was her comment about residential schools last month in the upper chamber of the Canadian Parliament that got her into hot water.
Obviously, the negative issues must be addressed, but it is unfortunate that they are sometimes magnified and considered more newsworthy than the abundance of good.
That was her way of saying that the government-financed, church-run schools where Indigenous children endured widespread sexual and physical abuse were not all bad. It drew a storm of criticism from the opposition as well as from within her own party. Many have called for Bayak's resignation. Georgina Jolibois is a member of Parliament for the New Democratic Party.
Residential schools were profoundly damaging to First Nations and remain a dark chapter in Canada's history. Children were forcibly taken from their families and homes for the exact purpose of trying to wipe out their languages and their identities.
The Minister of Indigenous and Northern Affairs, Carolyn Bennett, was quick to agree.
Comments like these are ill-informed, offensive, and simply wrong.
But Senator Bayak is standing her ground, and by her comments. She says one can never excuse or minimize the suffering that residential school victims experienced. That hasn't stopped the firestorm of criticism against her.
That was Dan Karpinchuk. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by the Fred Jones Jr. Museum of Art at the University of Oklahoma. Photosynthesis, new photographs by Navajo Will Wilson, plus early works by Edward Curtis. Photosynthesis through April 2nd. Info at fjjma.ou.edu.
Support by Bears Ears National Monument, created to honor tribes and protect traditional access. You can tell President Trump to honor tribes and protect Bears Ears at protectbearsears.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. The Circle of Life Academy is a Bureau of Indian Education grant school operated by the White Earth Reservation Tribal Council in Minnesota. The school's mission includes culturally based education. And here's a few examples of how they meet that mission. The Ojibwe language is embedded in classrooms, not a separate class. The staff gets trained in cultural responsiveness. The students have cultural learning activities like sugar bushing or learning to make a wigiwam or even something as simple as gathering wood. And as we'll hear today, the school's leaders say that those efforts are making a difference. The school saw a 44% reduction in behavior problems, and last year they saw a substantial increase in student graduates. Today, we're going to learn a little bit more about this particular school and another one and discuss the connections between culture and school success. If you've got something to add, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Joining us now from Callaway, Minnesota, in the studio at KKWE, home of NEJI Radio, is Ricky White. He is the superintendent of the Circle of Life Academy, and Ricky is a member of the Whitefish Bay First Nation. Welcome to Native America Calling, Superintendent White.
Well, I'll get you miigwech for having me on the air.
It's great to have you. It's great to hear you from our studio. We're so glad to bring you in through KKWE today. So we talked a little bit in the intro. I shared a little bit about some of the things that the Circle of Life Academy are doing. But before we get into the details about cultural activities and the connections between that and test scores, talk to us a little bit about what was going on at the school a few years ago. What was the situation like? What were the test scores? What were the graduation rates?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because the school's been here in White Earth for 40 years now, and it's always been the school of this people. And initially, the school got its name as a result of students wanting to have that cultural experience. So dating back 40 years ago, the school was founded on that principle that the people of White Earth, those students way back in the late 70s who walked out of one of the local high schools here, that is exactly what they wanted. So over the years, it's gone over a lot of transformation from the basements of homes to a nice building right in the heart of White Earth, to now even more so a state-of-the-art facility that opened in 2012. So over the years, though, the school, like I say, as far as growing pains go, has really come to fruition as far as what they intended the place to be. And I'll go ahead and say this with all due respect and honesty. As I came aboard last year, the school was identified as one of the lowest 5% of performing schools that the Bureau of Indian Education has in the country. So out of 186 Bureau schools, our Circle of Life Academy was identified as one of the lowest 5% performing schools. And that means, you know, as far as our test scores and reading and math and again, with graduation rates. So that's what we were identified with last year. And that's that doesn't happen overnight. I know in 2007, the school actually was making AYP, which meaning adequate yearly progress here in the state. So in the last 10 years, there's some things that have happened, and I think we can really correlate that with our community and the challenges that are here and alive right now in White Earth.
We're talking about graduation rates today. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. If you are listening on KKWE and you want to share a little bit about your schooling experience, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Again, the number is 1-800-996-2848. Ricky, things were not doing so well in terms of test scores and things like that. Walk us through your school today. What would a visitor see on a trip to the Circle of Life Academy?
Well, I would first like to talk about our spirit at our place. The spirit and the feeling and climate is one of a welcoming environment. When you first walk into our doors, we have our smudge bowl and our school eagle feather there. If you need to smudge and cleanse, you can do so at that time. When our students get off our buses in the morning, and they're coming from 75 miles away, some of them, to get to our school. They're from literally every walking earth to get to our school. And as they walk in, our smudge is wide open right there. So we immediately welcome our students and any guests, parents that are dropping their kids off, and staff with our smudging. And then as they walk through the halls and as they get to their classroom, it's been part of our way and our intense training, as we call it, that we are a harm reduction school, that we know our students have faced many barriers in their lives. It is the reality of where we are as a community. There are struggles, no question. We have a lot of champion moments, but I think as far as where we are as a community right now, our students have definitely faced many barriers, whether it's abuse, neglect, anything in that social service nature. Our students have had it. They've had trauma. They've had all of these things. And as you walk through our school, you will feel a sense of welcoming. You'll feel a sense of pride for the school. And that's first and foremost was my number one challenge coming in. It was told to me in my ear almost immediately that the Circle of Life Academy is the last place that you want to send your kids, and it's the last place you want to work. And that made me feel pretty sad hearing that. And I tell you what, that's not the case today. Today I have waiting lists in my 8 of my 13 classrooms. We've increased our enrollment exponentially. Even last year, as a school that was identified as that needed improvement, we actually increased our enrollment by 30 kids last year, and we've increased it another 30 kids this year. We're bursting almost at 200, and traditionally the place had about 130, 120 students. So the word's been put out there about how we've transformed the spirit and environment of the place. That's something that we approached and strategized and changed immediately. So that's been a big help. So as you come into COLA, and COLA, by the way, it's nice to have that name, because in our brother and sister language of the Dakota and Lakota, COLA means friend. So it's nice to have that aura about our school.
And that stands for, if you take the acronym, Circle of Life Academy, is that right?
That's right, yeah. In Dakota or Lakota, COLA means friend. So
you've seen some pretty interesting changes and pretty remarkable changes. One thing that you mentioned was that you're a harm reduction school. What does that mean?
Well, you know, and I shouldn't say you know, because you've asked the question. And I think that right there is part of our openness, is that we don't just think people know about harm, that the right thing to do is to be careful. You need that training. And the training that I've designed, when I say I, as far as our school improvement plan, the harm reduction and trauma-informed relationship-based foundation as far as a staff goes is absolutely critical when you're working with this populace. So I'll give you the perfect example. We do not have a hat or hood policy at COLA, where most schools would scorn you and get in your face as a result of having your hoodie on. You know what? At COLA, we go a little deeper. And when I say a little deeper, our staff has been trained in both the Circle of Courage, which is has its foundation in trauma-informed relationship building, that you work on belonging first before you start just harping at people with policy. And then we also have attended the Reaching the Wounded Student, which is another framework for working with kids like ours, so that when kids come in with their hoodies on, and likely after a weekend, you know what? We don't just assume that they're being disrespectful and they're doing that out of defiance. It isn't. We go deeper with relationships, and we go deeper with wanting to know and help them and look and see if we can see that smile. Or, you know what? It might be that we're just allowing them to pass through because likely they are going to make a connection with one of our staff within our school. And it's the same with the hat. I have the dream, and it's happening at Kola, that if you were a visitor at our school, Monica, and you walked in and you saw one of our boys or girls with their hat on, that as you walked by them, they would actually stop, take their hat off, introduce themselves, and say, "Bonjour, miwa niga nanakut nin, nindishnikaz, bonjour," and welcome you in our language and wish you to have a good day. I tell you what, that is generosity, and that is exactly the ultimate plan that we have for what we want our students to show and appreciate for anybody that comes in our school. So that's what I'm talking about when we talk about harm reduction, that we are a school that from the get-go, as soon as they get on the bus, that they're seeing a smiley face, a welcoming face. As they walk into our school, they're being welcomed with open arms, regardless if they had a bad day the day before. Hey, it's a new day. And as they go through our classrooms, every one of our teachers, that is the first thing, belonging, that we want to instill. So it's everyone from the cooks, our custodians. We all receive this training. We do not exclude anybody from this. And it's critical that we have that critical mass to address, because when I say those trauma barriers, the substance abuse is absolutely rampant on many of our reservations, and it's not exclusive of White Earth as well. And what comes with that is a lot of trauma filled, loss of family, overdoses, abuse, neglect, theft, you name it. That's really part of what our crisis is right now. And when I say crisis, it's not that you have to walk around fearing for your life. It's a very peaceful place. But it is alive here, and we end up as a school having these sacred little beings walking through our halls, and harm reduction is just that. We are not, just like social workers, their oath of faith, and when they take that oath, is that they are not going to cause further harm, and that's exactly what we do. And I'll say one last thing. I know I'm a little long-winded. The other component of this is how much we team with the tribal entities. We have first call and first person relationships with many of the programs that are housed right here in White Earth. So it's not just the school. We really ripple out and have first call and first person relationships with the Justice, with the Youth Wellness Court, with ICW, Indian Child Welfare, with obviously the police and so forth. Everybody is on board with this harm reduction approach to, changing the lives of these kids.
You are listening to Native America Calling, and today we are talking with Ricky White. He is the superintendent of the Circle of Life Academy, which is on the White Earth Reservation in Minnesota. And he was sharing a little bit about some of the approaches that this school takes when it comes to approaching Native students from a harm reduction perspective, but also using culture and traditional practices in the classroom. If that's something that sounds familiar to you in your community, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Or would you like to see more of that in your community? Would you like to see your children and grandchildren attending schools where there is an opportunity to smudge at the beginning of the school day? We want to hear from you. Again, the number is 1-800-996-2848. 2848. Ricky, what are some of the other cultural activities that students participate in throughout the school day or maybe as extra activities after school?
I'm glad you bring it up that way. We actually have, as part of our Anishinaabe ways and as American Indians, you will hear people talk about walking in both roads, the white road and the red road, as we say. And as American Indians, that is our reality, that we constantly try to find and maintain our identity. And in doing so, we know we need to walk that road. We know that that's going to provide us with strength, but we also need to make sure we have that balance of understanding the world that's around us as well, that this is a modern day, that we're not going to live in our wigwams or our teepees and so forth on any given day. But given that intro, what I'm talking about here is, as our students, as I looked at us last year with 20 minutes a day of basically an extra or an add-on, we were this typical low level of engagement as far as a program goes in reaching our students culturally. It was not enough. And our students and our community knew this, but we just never changed. And I think as we looked at school improvement, I attached that Ojibwe language and culture as another mechanism of sorts towards our school improvement. And I'm really proud to say that the changes is that from last year, instead of basically having one person lead the charge towards language and culture, which is what we had, we got a whole team now. They're our largest department now, and they are streamed right through kindergarten, right through grade 12. We've hired a resident elder on site, and I'll tell you, here is one of the avenues. We are not withholding any opportunity from our students to experience their ways, whether it's through language. But the other thing that people got to remember is that you can't have just our language. You cannot just use our language without embedding the culture into it. That the culture is really how we develop our way. And in our way, we call it Anishinaabe Mino Bimadiziwin, living a good life and living in a good way. And we can still, sure enough, borrow the language on how to become that. But you develop your way through the culture. And the greatest experience that I've had, and I've had many of them at Kola, was last week we actually had a naming ceremony. The spirit name of this young 12-year-old, with his mom, his family, his sisters, and his classmates, and other staff present, with our resident elder right there in a circle, this young man heard his spirit name for the first time. Because we believe we all have this name that gives us more identity and guidance. And I tell you, that ceremony happened at Kola. And that's what I'm saying. We're not withholding any opportunity to embed these teachings, because it's not just about the name. There are the content of that entire ceremony is it's a lifelong journey in itself. And that's what I'm talking about as far as those unique things that we've exposed our students to.
Right.
Go ahead.
Ricky, I think that some folks who maybe are not that familiar with Native America might be hearing that and saying, you took time out of your school day to have a naming ceremony, maybe a little bit surprised, like, what does that have to do with learning to read and improving test scores and things like that? Can you speak to that perspective?
Absolutely. I will also say that part of our school improvement plan has been to increase our proficiency in reading and math. There's no question. We were identified as that. We were at 10% when I started there last year. 10%, 1 out of 10 kids were proficient in every one of our grade levels in reading and math. And you know what? We pounded the program. We absolutely transformed And I can tell anybody that would wonder, let's go on a walkthrough in any of our classrooms during our core classes, and you will absolutely see world-class instruction. You will see world-class fidelity to a program, meaning the design of the program for those reading and math courses, and you will see the delivery of those programs happening as well for 90-minute blocks at least. And I'm really proud to say that in just a year and a half, we've quadrupled already our potential proficiency scores based on our NWA MAP testing. So we have incredible data in just a little over a year of how, again, we've transformed and balanced. And, you know, as you mentioned, how can you corroborate having such an intense language and culture program? In order to have that intensity that we put on our students in that way to increase their ability and skill levels, we balance that with our language and culture. Some folks say, oh, they're just coloring or they're just doing beadwork. Well, you know what? There's teachings that go along with that beadwork. It teaches them that, you know, as you worked your tail off in these core subjects, that you do have a release of sorts, that you're still gaining knowledge, you're still gaining teachings, you're still in active problem-solving mode, and your brain is still absolutely operating at a capacity that we don't really know, but we do look at them perform. So that would be my straight-up answer to anybody that would question or wonder why or how it's possible to dedicate so much time. As you dedicate so much time to the individual and the individual student, it's those relationships and that connectivity that actually where you get the best gains out of students. And so many schools that just have this cookie cutter type of program, you'll find that many of their gaps, the gaps of students that they don't end up reaching, it's because those cookie cutter type things are not relating to them in some way. They've got to also match those things with balance, with things that the students relate to. And in our school, having 100% Anishinaabe, it is a natural thing, and they are absolutely thriving with it.
We're about to go to a break, but just real briefly, I mean, what are some of the things that students have told you about how they like this program?
Well, you know, we also have this radio station on 89.9 KKWE, Niji Radio, right here in Callaway. They have a radio station at our school each week. It's Tune In at 2 at Kola. And, you know, just this last week, I heard some of our underclassmen talk about our school, and they said, in their own words, you can't script this out, and we don't. I love this school. It's like a family to me. And when you hear our own students talk about our school like that, you know you don't need any more data than to look in their eyes and hear that truth, that Tebwe Win, as we say. Tebwe Win is speaking and living truth. That absolutely resonates. And before we go to break, I'll also tell you, one of our other missions was to expose our students to college and careers and culture. We just sent a group of 17 students to on a college trip, 8 days.
Wow. And you know what, Ricky, we're going to have to talk about that after the break. You are listening to Native America Calling. We're talking about culture in the classroom. 1-800-996-2848. The Woman Who Married a Bear by Standing Rock Sioux Nation author and poet Tiffany Midge is filled with thoughts on Native identity and culture and prompts the readers to celebrate both the simplicity and complexity of our lives. We'll put this book in our monthly literary spotlight and hope you'll join us for the next Native America Calling.
I'm Brian. I'm proud of my years of military service. When I was 58, doctors told me I had the heart of a 37-year-old man. They told me that after my transplant surgery, when that man's heart became mine. I needed that transplant because I smoked and got heart disease. If you're a smoker, here are some tips in case that happens to you. First, you have to quit smoking for good before you can even get on a transplant list. So quit now. And if you're like me before I had my transplant, you may need a new defibrillator put in your chest. If you do, ask if the surgeons will use the same incision line every time. That'll cut down on the number of scars you'll have. And never feel sorry for yourself. I don't. I only feel sorry for my family. And the family of that 37-year-old man.
Smoking can cause heart disease, the number one cause of death in the U.S. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're glad you've chosen to spend a little bit of your time with us. Visit our archive to catch up on past shows and look for specific topics. Our website is nativeamericacalling.com. We're talking about high school graduation rates today. The numbers aren't great for Native American students. In Minnesota in 2015, just 56% of Native students graduated from high school on time. And that's compared to an average of 84% for all students in Minnesota. Researchers and educators identify many reasons why those rates are so low. Today, we'll focus on some of the possible solutions. We've been talking with Ricky White. He is the superintendent of the Circle of Life Academy on the White Earth Reservation. We know education and the rate of success is also important to your community, and we look forward to your calls and what you find a priority in making sure that our students graduate. Add your voice to the hour. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Ricky, before the break, you were mentioning that getting students ready for college and that they went on a trip. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. One of the pride and joy is this is our second annual. We had 17 of our learners earn a trip. These are high school students, grades 9 through 12. And one of our mandatory activities is to expose students to colleges and careers and culture. So we devised this ultimate plan that over the course of a quarter and a half that they would earn a spot, and we would basically map out a pathway to a large powwow gathering. And this last weekend, it was in Denver, Colorado, Denver March Powwow they had out there. And we mapped out last Wednesday, months ago, a trip and a pathway through different colleges. So they started with University of Minnesota Morris right here in Minnesota, which is a tuition waiver school for Native American students. And they spent half a day there, and then got on the tour bus and moseyed on down to Denver, Colorado, and they're able to head over to Durango, Colorado, and University of Colorado as well, University of Denver, check out those two colleges, and then they attended the powwow all weekend through Sunday. And now they're making their way back, and they had an opportunity to see through the Black Hills and, of course, Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse Memorial, and then they toured University of South Dakota. So they're making their way back now. It's 7 nights, 8 days of just full excursion. And for many, and when I say many, this is the second annual. I would say for the vast majority of these kids, other than last year, this was their first opportunity to leave probably even the reservation lines of sorts. So it really is an eye-opening experience for them. And if you check out our Facebook, our Circle of Life Academy Facebook, you'll see the smiles and the testimonies from these students.
Yeah, I'm sure it looks like they had a good time on that trip. We are talking about graduation rates today and adding culture into the classroom. And if you've got something you'd like to share, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Jamie in Manoman, Minnesota, tuned in on KKWE. Hey there, Jamie.
Hi, Monica. How you doing?
Good, good. What do you want to share?
Well, I'm just wanted to share that I'm one of the founders of the Circle of Life Academy way back in like 40 years ago. This was when students walked out of the public school up here, and decided that we wanted to have a school that had more culture and language and more of our peers and things like that there. And I just transferred my couple of my grandkids over to Circle of Life here in the last beginning of last quarter. And my kindergartner, my Head Start granddaughter will be going into kindergarten over there next year. And I did it all this because of Mr. Ricky White, hearing him talk on the radio about all the good things and the great things that they were doing over there at Circle of Life. And I've been trying to get more active in the school over there, going and participating in the opening ceremonies that they do on Monday mornings, where they smudge and smoke the pipes and we sing the flag song over there so that we can teach our kids more about the culture and the language. And so I just wanted to comment about that there.
Jamie, thanks so much for giving us a call from Annomen. We really appreciate it. And you can add your voice to the conversation. Do your kids or grandkids attend a school in your community that includes culture and cultural practices? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. I want to bring another voice into the conversation. We've been talking a lot about the Circle of Life Academy, but we're also focusing on what it means to bring cultural practices into the classroom. Joining us now also from the studio in KKWE is Joe Coyer. He is the director of the Native American Education Department at Detroit Lakes Public Schools. And Joe is Ojibwe, Cree, and Dakota. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
So, I just want to give you an opportunity. Anything you want to add about adding culture into the classroom and maybe that connection between cultural practices and how it can improve test scores or graduation rates?
Yes. Well, first of all, Detroit Lakes is a public school. We are, if you look back at our graduation rate, our trend back 4 years averages out to about 86% of our Native American students graduate. That would be a little less than the white population, which is 92% for a 4-year trend. You're right about the statewide Native American. The Native American graduation rate is a little over 52%. The white population in the state across the board, right around last year, right around 46,000 students, right at about 85.5%. So our 86% Native American population in DL, Detroit Lakes, is graduating at a little bit higher than the across-the-board white population in the state. We still want to get our graduation rate higher. We want to get it close to 100%. That would be awesome to graduate 100% of our students. In regards to bringing culture into our curriculum, K through 12, we don't have a elementary cultural class. We don't have a middle school cultural class every day. What we do, what we're able to do is bring in speakers, presenters. We have a drum and dance group. We have a quiz bowl group. But we rely on area expertise in culture, bringing in elders to enhance the curriculum, the classes. I do some presentations myself going into like the sixth grade. They're learning particularly more about Minnesota-specific Native American or Native American culture, history, and language. When we get to the high school, then we are now... It's kind of been on and off, but we're offering the Ojibwe language, and then we got two classes of Ojibwe language at the high school and one at the ALC, and then we're offering the Native Studies class at the high school. And I was just talking to my students today, telling them that I would be up here doing being part of the radio station, and I asked them, I said, what do you guys think about the culture in the classroom and what it does for you? And several of the students, the first comment was we're learning our true Native American history. We get culture part of the culture, that spirituality is embedded into it. We didn't get that from a U.S. history class or out of the textbook. So right there, we're giving them something that they need. We're giving them something that they want, and it is showing, because year after year we are graduating close to 86% of our Native American students, and that wouldn't be possible without the help of our parents that support the education, and they also are really concerned about the culture being part of the curriculum.
Is it something that you sort of see challenging to convince because it's a public school, to sort of convince to add this to the program, Joe?
No, I don't see it as a barrier or anything. There are certain things that can come up, like if we're doing smudging and stuff. We don't have the flexibility or the setup to do a smudge every day. We're at about 16-17% Native American students in our district. So we got about 500 students, a little over 500 Native American students, descendancy students, compared to like the about 3,100 total students. So there are some things that we can do on a smaller scale with particular students, but across the board, we have two elementaries, a middle school, a high school, and an ALC. It makes it difficult with five, six, seven staff members. You need that, which we're doing. We need professional development, that's targeting the Native American culture and that. And we do that, but what the next step would be is hiring more and more, getting our students interested in teaching, and then hiring those Native American students to come in. So that is the challenge there. But everything I brought to, like, I've been there for 18 years. I bring a lot of different things that most public schools don't do, and I always get support. And if I have a little resistance, I have to make my argument that makes sense, and I need the support from our parent committee. And then I just keep on pushing and pushing until I get my way.
You sound pretty persistent. Well, we are talking about culture in the classroom today. There's still time to get in on the conversation if you want to. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Grace in Bemidji, Minnesota. Hey there, Grace.
Bonjour. I said, hello, my relatives. My name is Owateakwe or Gitika Kuntz. My clan is Loon. I'm from Minneapolis, and I live in White Earth, on the White Earth Reservation. And my three children, kindergarten and a third grader and fourth grader, they all go to COLA. And they started going there last year. And I noticed the difference in my children tremendously. They're no longer afraid to go to school. They're excited about their school. They're excited about the cultural things they're doing in school with Sugar Bush and the after-school program. My daughter is working on making regalia. There's ladies there that are helping her with teaching her to make her own regalia and doing beadwork. My boys, they like to drum and sing, and they get that opportunity with the after-school program or with the flag song they sing in the morning. And I've been there a couple times and seen the kids singing the flag song in the morning, and just the feeling that I get from seeing that is overwhelming. And I really just want to thank Ricky White and the entire staff and faculty at COLA for reaching out and giving that extra to make sure that these kids really do get to know Minobemadizawin, Chimigwichwe, Ricky White, and the staff and faculty at Circle of Life Academy.
Miigwech. Thank you.
Absolutely. Grace, thanks so much for giving us a call. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Travis in Aniak, Alaska, tuned in on KYUK. Hey there, Travis. What are you thinking about? Travis, can you hear us? Okay, we'll work with his phone line and see if we can get him into the conversation. And Ricky, you know, our caller had, I just got chills listening to her talk about how well her kids are responding to being in the school and all of that. Anything else that you want to share with us about how this model that you've sort of worked with and come up with is really benefiting the students?
Well, you know, those shivers that you got there, that's the spirit of one person and this mother that has children, and the spirit of theirs sending towards anybody that's listening. And I think we all feel it when we hear that connection that people have to something. And in this case, of course, it's the school. And that's really what the model has been from the get-go, has been to connect with the spirits of our and the way of our students and staff and community. And, you know, it's interesting that you ask about this model school. You know, our teachings have never left us. It's just that, you know, in these recent times we're all knowing that we're at a critical period in our way of life right now, that we have so many that we're losing that have these teachings. And I think by embedding them in the school, we're now going to be creating a critical mass of this young generation that's going to really carry this. And by utilizing that as our model, and we just pour everything on with it. It comes naturally. This is, as you think about Minobemadizawin, which is live in a good way, everything does flow naturally, and they flow naturally with the seasons. It's interesting. I had a call this morning from Dr. Pamela Spears, who's really, she works with the Bureau of Indian Education, and we had a conversation this morning as she is being charged with basically looking at many schools across the nation, bureau schools that is, and what they are doing intentionally with the language and culture and how they're embedding this. And Kola, I'm happy and proud to say, as I always am every single day, that they're going to be utilizing Kola as a model for speaking to other schools on how, you know, we can basically get away with excuses that we make not to do things, and rather the opposite, that we can do things because we can. And how we've transformed our place into, you've heard from the two parents, a place that students want to come to.
It sounds to me like you start every one of your days with the idea that anything is possible, that that the barriers that might be in front of you, you can move them away with no problems.
And that really is, you know, as you look at the barriers, every single day there could be something that is happening in the lives of our students, and they can actually get support right within our school. And we do it with our traditions and our customs, but we also do it with every modern mechanism as well. I have a full mental health team at our school, including a therapist and CTSS worker and case manager. I have a school counselor. I have four school intern psychologists, school psychology students from Minnesota State University. And I have two intern therapists from the University of North Dakota. So our, you know, our way of supporting the kids on every level is still part of our plan every single day. Mm. Yeah, it's right there in our school.
Let's try Travis again in Aniak, Alaska, tuned in on KYUK. Travis, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
And what would you like to share today?
I would just like to say hi to Ricky White and also you, Monica, and also commend Ricky White on the great job of being able to graduate, you know, individuals from the Lakota tribe, and the great job of is doing out there, balancing the two cultures and the Western way of culture.
Absolutely, Travis. Thanks so much for giving us a call from Alaska. We really appreciate that. And Joe, I wanted to talk with you a little bit more about, you know, I know that that your program is limited in terms of the number or the because you don't have as many Native students where we're talking about Ricky's school is 100% Native. What are some of the challenges that you see in terms of getting those graduation rates up or getting those test scores up in particular in your school?
Well, I think it comes with working together with the families at a young age. And, you know, we have some really, really good parents out there. I think every district, you know, you have the parents that, you know, it's a schedule, structure, stuff like that. Every district has a number of students that don't seem to get to school on a consistent basis. And as those years rack up, those students tend to get, they drop back in line. And so you're always constantly trying to get those kids caught up at the same time you're teaching with your kids. So we have to do two things. We're trying to get our kids, some of our Native American kids, caught up academically in the core classes. And when there's a cultural activity, we want all of our kids to take part of it, our non-Natives and Natives. But there are times where some of our students just can't leave the school for this and that and cultural activities. They have to pay attention to their academics. And then we have certain parents that without any, you know, all at all costs, the kids have to attend their classes. And then we have other parents that, no, they want them to go, the kids, no matter if they're failing or not, go to the cultural activities. So we're always kind of adjusting. And what we do is we try to work with the teachers, the staff and stuff, and try to come to a compromise that where I come from, in my opinion, and my opinion doesn't always, you know, carry over on the final outcome, but I always want our students to attend the cultural activities and be able to be part of that. We'll get the academics. We'll keep working at that. But yeah, so that's one of the challenges. And what was your other question?
I was just curious about what were some of the challenges in terms of getting to that finish line with graduation rates. And you brought up an interesting point about parents, and I want to ask Ricky about that. In terms of parents working with parents, you know, you have a lot of programs at your school. Do you have something specific in terms of working with the parents?
Absolutely. Another one of our school improvement required, you know, activities was how we reach out to the parents and community. So one of the greatest things that we've done this year especially has been our parent days. And yeah, we threw in the word fun in there. So it's really once a month having parents come to our school and engage in activities for the day, whether they're culturally crafts, activities, we do conferences at the same time, and make it a scavenger hunt of sorts of just pure fun. And at the same time, we also have our board is composed of mandatory requirement for board is that they have children in our school. And so the engagement that we've had from parents has been unbelievable. I think the other thing that we've done is that we've created activity-based, like our sports and other activities have all been after school. So it gives parents an opportunity to come and enjoy their children at a time that works for them. So that's just been amazing with the amount of engagement that we've had as a result of that. And then we've teamed up with the Boys and Girls Club of White Earth, and we now have one of the largest Boys and Girls Clubs right there at our school. And one of the key things there is we feed them a free dinner. So every one of our kids are 100% free and reduced lunch. So they get breakfast, lunch, and then dinner, and then a ride home at 6 o'clock. So it's just been overall support from our parents and community to make all of that happen.
What advice would you have for educators who might be wanting to take on a task of changing their school the way that you have?
I'll tell you, it's actually very simple, and it's something that I've stated at the state of Minnesota, and they're embedding something like this as far as the new Every Student Succeeds Act. And it's how you build relationships as the foundation of teaching and learning. It's that simple. That is, even via research, Monica, the number one dropout prevention, and it's in all research base, every PhD would tell you, it's relationships. So that foundation for us at COLA is, and I'm sure right there at Detroit Lakes, that's why they're graduating 86% of their native kids. Relationships, relationships, and relationships.
Well, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to leave it there. I could talk for several more hours about this topic, but I really want to thank Ricky White and Joe Coyer for joining us today and sharing a little bit about their schools. Also, a big thanks to White Earth radio station KKWE Niji Radio in Callaway, Minnesota, for helping us out with today's topic and making their studios available. Thanks to Carly Kuhn. We're back tomorrow with our March Book of the Month with Tiffany Midge. She'll share her poetry. Thanks so much to the Native America Calling crew. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. Derek Toledo is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm senior producer Monica Brain. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bonjour. Anishinaabe gayansigwa mazanaigas jidabayigesigwa winanandawiandwa. O da aba jitunawa mazanaigan nishwaswe jangaswe ningodwaswe nanan. Deba amawawa deba amazo wininiwan. Ganoj 1-800-318-2596 gema mawidishiwain healthcare.gov. Gawandinagadeg the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Support by Amerind Media Group, offering compelling and entertaining films, TV series, and documentaries about the indigenous peoples from around the world. We are honored to share their cultures, traditions, and stories online with a no-charge trial at nativeflix.com. Support by the Sisseton, Wahpeton, Oyate Tribes, Dakota Western Corporation, and SWO Plastics. Commercial strength trash bags from 3 to 65 gallons for industrial use by casinos, the IHS, and more. DakotaWesternCorp.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.